So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable, Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
That's right. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. You are going to be happy that you were here and that you showed up for the show tonight. Isn't that right, Les? Les? Ruh-roh. We got problems. So I think we lost Les. And I do got to remind everybody that we do have, like, storms in the area, severe thunderstorms, heading our way. So if we do lose power... stick with us, and we'll try to be back as soon as we can and finish up the show. If we don't, well, then we don't, and it just doesn't happen. But let's try to get good old Les back on the line here. So I'm going to call him live on the air. Hold on. Let's call good old Les. See if he's there. Maybe he... accidentally hung up. Maybe I accidentally hung up on him. Who knows? Maybe it's just my line. We never know. Giving him a call right now, folks. It's a good way to start the show, isn't it? Do 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 do. All right, it's ringing. Mr. Les, what happened? All right, let me get you back on the line here.
Just heard clicks and clicks, and then all of a sudden it started to ring. I mean, I heard a dial like it was ringing on me calling somebody, so I figured you disconnect this, and I hung up.
That's weird. I don't know. We got problems in the area
here with
it. It
wasn't just your click.
With the weather and
are you there?
Stuff like that. I'm here. Can you hear me? Uh-oh. I don't know if you can hear me. This isn't going well.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, you can hear me now.
I can hear you now.
That's weird.
I can't see you, but I can hear you.
All right. Let me see what we've got going wrong here, because apparently you can't hear me through my microphone, which is not a good thing. I have no clue. Everything's the same.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Let's see if this works.
How's that, Les? Can you hear me now? Nope.
Wow. I don't get it.
Well, I certainly don't, because as a technician, I am not.
Yes, and I'm getting a lot of static, too, so I don't know what's wrong with this thing, but I can hear myself clear through it, but who knows? We can do the show like this, can't we?
I guess. I mean, you know, you're the one, that's your call, not mine.
Oh, that's just great. Anyway, lots of good stuff happened over the weekend, of course.
Of course. Are we on the air?
Yes, we are on the air.
Oh, well... Now you tell me. I might have started swearing. And
yeah, you might have started cursing me out, and they're like, Doc, what is the matter with you?
Well, you know, if there's not a problem, it's not Wrestling Weekly.
That's right. That's true.
You know, and that's, I want to start by saying I can't leave you alone a week. You get one of my best friends, longtime friends, all filed up. And in case no everyone knows what we're talking about. The transcript, whoever transcribed the show from last week with Gene Oakland put the name Mulligan behind Blackjack opposed to Lonzo.
Right.
And created quite an uproar.
Yes, it was quite the mistake that was caused.
Yes, it was.
And Blackjack Mulligan wasn't very appreciative of the comments attributed to him.
Seen my friend Mully, it's really not the kind you need to upset.
Probably not.
No.
I am seeing what the problem is here, Les, and I am working on fixing it right now.
Okay, which means I've talked to myself basically. For those of you listening, Doc is a tinkerer.
No, they can actually hear us right now. But
I know, but I'm just saying Doc is a tinkerer.
Yes.
I don't know if that's correct English or not, but anyway, and he loves to mess with equipment during interviews.
Yes.
And there are times that when myself and our guests are like sitting here with our mouths hanging open and Doc forgets that we're even on the air. But hey, what the hell? Vegas was fun.
What if this had happened with the Gene Okerlund last week? Who?
Well, he can appreciate electronic glitches, I think. Probably most of us who have worked the mics on wrestling shows can appreciate. I don't know about appreciate. Maybe that's not the right word. We understand them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that anybody appreciates them.
Right.
But anyway, when you get done with your six-week course at the producer's school.
Tell me about Vegas in the meantime.
Well, in the meantime, well, it was Vegas. I honestly, the highlight of the trip was Scott Casey took Alice and I up to Mount Charleston, which is in the Sierras, and we got to the really neat thing is we left the hotel. It was probably 98, 99 degrees, and we drove between 20 and 25 miles to about 8,000 feet in the Sierras, and it was 69 degrees, and so it's beautiful up there. I mean, I've been to Vegas, I don't know how many times, but never actually outside the city limits,
mm-hmm.
You know, and but up in the Sierras, I don't normally use words magnificent, spectacular, but that's exactly what it was. And there were mountains, and the homes, the A-frames and the chalets and that sort of thing. And it's just a whole other world up there. And they obviously have snow in the winter. And like I say, 25 miles from the hotel and 30 degrees cooler. And it's beautiful up there. We had a good time.
Oh, I got to go sometime. All right, we're going to switch to my microphone right now, so I'm not so loud. Hold on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, cross your fingers, hold your breath.
All right, there we go. That's a little bit better.
We did it, huh?
We did it.
Well, there you go. Another electronic step forward by Doc Young.
Producer extraordinaire.
Vegas. Vegas was. We had they had the biggest turnout for the training seminar. We've had 70 athletes. The talent level was it was deeper than in past years. In fact, making the cut down to 30 was honestly hard. I mean, you know, in years. I mean, not that it hadn't been a little difficult in years past, but I mean, there was at this point. You know, maybe the first 15 were just they jumped off the page at you and said, yeah, these people are going to make it. You know. But then getting down to the final 15, which was quite a bit tougher. Mariko Ishida from Japan was so impressive. I don't follow Japanese wrestling that closely and probably should, but it's just something I don't do. But this young, I would say young lady, she's been wrestling 18 years. 36 years old.
Wow.
And very talented. We had five girls, and we did a five-girl elimination match. Came down to her and cheerleader Melissa, and they put on a wrestling clinic for the final 12 to 15 minutes. I told some of the guys, steer clear of her. She knows submissions. But she saw, she doesn't speak good English, but I think it's what it also impressed me is after 18 years, she's asking us to make her better.
Wow.
Yes, and there, I think, is a lesson to be learned if you've been in this business 15 minutes or 15 years, is that if this lady, who's one of the top performers in Japan, is you know, she, you know, we would run drills and so forth and so on, and then she would do her part in the little matches and stuff during 2 days of training, and then say, tell me what's wrong, make better. and I thought, hell, why don't you teach some of these guys here? But I mean, I admire that so much, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, anyway, that was probably the highlight of the training seminar, is getting the opportunity to work with her, and you know, privileged to actually show her something. I don't know that there's a lot of room for improvement there, but she's, you know, she's always looking to be better.
Right.
So, you know, so it was a good time overall. You know, it's the convention moves to the Riviera next year. Dates are, I believe, April 19, 20, and 21. But there will be no seminar.
Oh.
Yes, well, I'm not sure why. I am sure why. The Riviera, we made a lot of noise over the heads of the cooks last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my employees always come before the people who rent from me. And no, I won't go off on it. It's really a downer. I'm not sure what's going to be happening in those, you know, in the following year, because I don't know. They were looking, some of the people on the board were looking at some other properties, but some of the other members decided it was Riviera even without the seminar. My apologies to the young talent that's, I mean, some there's a young man, Virgil Flynn, who's from California. He made the cut this year for the show, first time, but he's been there. He's a little cruiserweight, and he's been there all 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about work ethic again. You know, he didn't make the show first, second, or third years. He came back the fourth year, and he made the show, and he had a good little match with Paul Diamond from Altitude Pro Wrestling in Denver. You know, and to me, that's the whole trip. I mean, I love working with the kids and watching them improve, and it's just such a big part of it for me. But anyway, I hope we can pick it back up again in 2008.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I personally
have it in Indianapolis. Yes.
I started to say I'll bomb the Riviera, but if I say that, they'll have the FBI.
The ATF will come banging on your door.
If you are a government agent and you hear me saying that, it's a figure of speech. I don't intend to blow up the Riviera. But it's disappointing. I can't say it any nicer. You know, it's extremely disappointing to
right.
me. And I really, you know, hope we can get the kids back, because it's the one thing that, you know, I think a lot of them look forward to. So anyway, yeah, you know, it was a good trip, and but I'm happy to be home. And oh,
yeah, it's always good to come home.
Yes, it is.
But,
and then I got my first, and of course, everyone's saying, "What do you think of ECW?" And I have seen no ECW.
You've not seen it?
Tonight will be my first look. I didn't see the special on Wednesday. I didn't see the pay-per-view, and I didn't see the Monday we were up in Mount Charleston in Vegas. But I did see DX return last night.
Oh, yeah.
well, you know what? And I'm a fan.
Right.
But a couple of asides, I think we're trying to be too cool.
Mm-hmm.
We're forcing it, is my point.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were cooler in 2 hours last night than they probably were in 2 months with the original version.
Right.
Like it or not, part of that coolness was Rhodey and Billy Gunn. I hate to see them force things. And I'm a DX fan. I like the music. I like the entrance video.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not, you know, but I just, again, watching it last night, I'm thinking, okay, now they're forcing a lot of this stuff.
Hmm. I don't know. I didn't stop to think about anything like that. I was just enjoying it so much. I was just like,
well, see, you know, I used to be paid to stop and think about things like that.
True, true.
So, it's like, I'm sure Steven Spielberg watches a movie, not just to watch the movie, but probably dissects how it's directed.
Right.
You know, and how it's produced. And I think of those things come to mind, too. And like I say, it's, well, you know, if you back up and you look at, let's look at Austin Foley. It happened. What I mean by that, where they were obviously given center stage, they were obviously, you know, given a push They were obviously given the opportunity to excel, but the cult following that they both generated just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, they connected. And then now, if you came back with it, okay, let's look and see how Steve Austin got over. Now, if you brought somebody else back and tried to walk through that same pattern, I'd almost guarantee you 99 times out of 100 it's not going to fly. Or the same thing with Foley, because it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
I can go all the way back. Well, you know, Monday Night Football moves to ESPN next season, or this season actually, coming this fall coming up. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Monday Night Football began, and there was such a chemistry between Don Meredith and, God, I'm having a senior moment here. Oh, damn it. Howard Cosell.
Ah.
That's what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Cosell and Meredith had such a chemistry, right?
Right.
Now, I'm not sure how many years that has been since they were together, but they... ABC has tried and tried and tried to rekindle that chemistry with other people, and it just hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's my point. You know, I think that Helmsley and Michaels play off each other well. I just don't think it's necessary to write them anything. I don't think it's necessary to over push it. I think it's just gonna, it let it happen, and I think it's just a better deal all the way around.
Yeah, I think they wanted to get a lot of it out before the pay-per-view, though. They wanted the whole night to pretty much run around DX. And, you know, I'm actually surprised that they gave all this away for free when they have a pay-per-view coming up.
I think with the whole thing was, you know, the rib about Stephanie being in labor and who's the father.
Right.
It's like I'm thinking, man, I think you're treading on – that's walking a tightrope because so many people already know, right?
Right.
And so I think basically that's kind of rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, it actually is.
Yeah, I just kind of stay away from it. And the other question is, why isn't the father on his way to the hospital? Of course, we find out it's a rib.
Right.
But, I mean, that's, you know, but at first you think, okay, this makes no sense. But then later, of course, that the fact that she's not ready to deliver. But anyway, overall, I'm a DX fan, so I think they'll get over. Backing up to SmackDown on the Friday before, Gregory Helms and Mysterio's match, good solid match again. If you're listening and you're a independent wrestler looking to move up, those are the matches you need to watch over and over and over and over. It was good and sound basics. It, you know, had peaks and valleys. They had a story. They built to the finish. And I heard the good pop, and again, I couldn't help but think, what if they'd actually built to this?
Mm-hmm.
What if Helms were on TV a few weeks ahead of time getting strong matches with, like, a Jamie Noble or a Kid Cash or Paul London?
Right.
And then building to, well, you know, one cruiserweight's won the WWE heavyweight title. Why can't a second? You know, mm-hmm. I'll be the first to carry both the belts of both divisions. I'll be there, you know, build this. I mean, and again, it's not a pay-per-view, but it gives you a reason to come back and watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought they got such. I mean, the finish got over well, at least by the sound of the crowd. And I'm thinking, had you built for this, opposed to just throwing it out there, what would you have had? You know, and I think those little details like that is what, you know, the business lacks a little bit.
Yeah, it's getting to be. So you missed the TNA pay-per-view on Sunday.
Nope.
Is that what you had said? You saw that?
No, I didn't see it.
No, okay.
No, I didn't.
It was very good, in my opinion. They had a lot of... the thing that struck me the most was they had a lot of good false finishes that actually worked the crowd, you know?
Yeah. I don't like to see titles held up.
Right.
I find that's a bad deal.
Bad ending. But Jim Cornette came out and just cut promo of the year. It was really good. He said that he's the new face of TNA management because, frankly, sick of looking at the old face. And, things are going to change from here on out. And I don't know why they're making Larry Zbyszko look so bad, though. But
I don't know. I heard that Zbyszko going back to do the seniors tour in golf. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's just I didn't hear it from Larry, so I can't swear to it. But
right.
Well, and then a spoiler too. I understand that Corny fired Earl Hebner for his involvement. He broke up Team Canada. Yay. You know, he said they all had individual contracts, so they'll all be individual wrestlers. And as far as I'm concerned, you can take the billy clubs, the guitars, and all the accessories. I just get so tired of that nonsense, too.
Right.
I do. I mean, you know, America's Most Wanted is a good, solid team. And why they need a billy club all of a sudden is beyond my comprehension. You know, it's just, I think our business takes too many shortcuts and try to make things easy instead of actually sitting down and thinking about them.
Well, I think it is a shortcut, and I assume what they're trying to do is to get these guys over as characters. But what they're doing is they're putting an object in each person's hand, and that's their character.
Well, but the problem with that is then all the referees are deaf, dumb, and blind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would be my call, and so is the new face of TNA,
the
old face or any face.
The man who carried a tennis racket.
Well,
for
you know
years.
What? Isn't it amazing that football uses replays, and probably the old face, new face, current face, next year's face are all watching a monitor somewhere.
Right.
So, they sneak it in front of only 10 million people see it, right? The referee is the only guy who doesn't, and they get by with it.
Right.
Again, I don't think with good, solid talent that all the gimmickry is necessary. My stance on Jeff Jarrett is that he hasn't beaten a soul in years. But Fender or Gibson, whoever builds the guitars, has been the culprit.
Right.
And again, I understand what the business is about, but, I don't see the need for it.
But don't you see the heel cheating as the most basic?
Sure, I do. That's why he's a heel. That's a question that I ask in my seminars. Why is a heel a heel? And you should hear some of the stupid answers. Because he's ugly, because he all wears black, because he cheats. No, he's a heel because the babyface out wrestles him. But I just don't see the need. Well, and I don't see the need for drunk wrestlers either. I don't like that.
It's not very good for the kids.
Basically, you might as well run a neon sign up and say, hey, it's work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show. You can't suspend people's disbelief with that. Now, if you caught James sucking on a long neck out in the truck, inadvertently, I wouldn't have. I was thinking with Vince last night, and then I read that Jimmy had all the wrestlers and referees out at the ring. I used to make fun when my mother used to watch those soap operas, and I'd walk through it. I said, this is amazing. General Hospital, the entire city hangs out at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why? Do you get my point?
Yes.
And in our business now, everybody airs their dirty laundry in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would just make the show better if the camera caught them off. In other words, I think when you walk out there and go through your whole shtick, it's like, hey, this is part of the show. Again, if you're trying to suspend somebody's disbelief, then you catch them in the act. They don't come out and do the act for you.
Yeah.
You are in the movies, you become a voyeur in the good dramas, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't say, hey, you're checking this out, audience. This is where we're taking you to the next step. I'm not producing anything, so it doesn't matter. I could live without all the weapons and the sledgehammers, too.
Oh, yeah.
And all that craziness.
That got boring. I think we've seen the end of that, though.
I hope. And I saw enough bare asses on Monday night to I didn't need to see coaches, but nor all the midgets or little people or dwarfs or I don't want to be politically incorrect, whatever the case. And it's not that I dislike little people. I just, come on.
Yeah, I could have done without seeing Coach's ass and little people's ass.
And you know what? See, I drive you crazy with details. I sit here watching the match that I know you thought was tops on Raw, the tag team bra and panties match.
Come on.
I sat here and I think, somebody explained to me why these girls come out showing as much as they can possibly show legally to start with, and then when you pull what little top they have over the bra, when you see half the bra already, that they act like they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, you pose nude in Playboy,
exactly.
Right? You come out here scantily attired, and now you want me to believe you're embarrassed. I'd use the F word and say, what's up, what the F's up with that? But,
yeah.
But no, I mean, to me, that's sophomoric.
That's the what's up with that of the week.
It is sophomoric. It is lowbrow comedy, and I just think it's too much.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. That's something that actually crossed my mind, but just never came out of my mouth.
Well, because you want to continue to see a bra and panties tag team match every day of your life.
Exactly.
Right, I know.
You know, there were some good wrestling on there, too, but, there's some panties, too.
Where was the good wrestling?
Oh, man. You didn't think the Nitro match was good?
It was all right, yeah. Yeah.
I like that one. I think that's going to be a great matchup coming up on the pay-per-view.
I just thought the show pretty much was flat.
Really?
Yeah, I did. The whole thing, and from what I'm reading about ECW, what I'm being told, well, I shouldn't say being told, what I read on the different websites and in the sheets, as my longtime friend and Klondike Bill used to say, they've got a hitch in their get along. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many hurdles that don't make it. It's like, well, like Monday night with Balls Mahoney, that whole deal. You beat him. Plain and simple, you beat him.
Right.
Van Damme didn't win crap. I'll use that the C word instead of the S word.
Good.
You know, I mean, it's all watered down. And what was the problem with the WCW invasion?
They didn't look strong.
Exactly. And what's happening now?
Same thing.
Thank you. I rest my case.
Or you got to make them a threat.
Well,
or else...
you know, and I want it to succeed. You know. Aliens aside, zombies aside, and I think that's, I don't know, I find maybe it's too, maybe I am too old for this, it's 2006, I realize, but if you were on Fox Sports, would you not be allowed to beat up football players?
All right.
Or would you have to incorporate some basketball players and maybe jockeys in your show because we're a sports channel? You get my point.
Yeah.
Okay. If you've spent your life in this business and if you've actually at some one point tried to protect it, you know, and did the whole kayfabe thing and tried to make people respect it, then you would have to see this as a negative approach. I mean, I shouldn't say that. You wouldn't have to. If you paid me enough, I wouldn't either.
Right.
Okay? You put me under $1 million-a-year contract, I can close my eyes too, Doc. But since I'm not, you know, and again, it's not, you know, not that I agreed with everything that went on 45 years ago, but it's just like, come on, let professional wrestling be professional. I see that on the ECW website, they aren't wrestlers or superstars, they're rebels. Does
right.
that mean Joey can't call them wrestlers either?
I don't know. Maybe they got wrestlers trademarked now.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe I'm going to get sued for calling them wrestlers. I don't know. No, I honestly hope it succeeds. First of all, I think the whole concept, as I said several weeks ago, it was us against them, the world, and that's not the case any longer.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong.
They're in a tough position to try to approach it that way, because it's not true and everybody knows it.
Right. Well, but again, when the cross promotion thing is that the Raw guys go on that show and are strong, and those guys come on the Raw show and they're not.
Right.
So if you've handed Balls Mahoney his ass, why do I need to tune in tonight to see somebody hand him his ass again?
Right. With the exception of Sabu, which that might not even count because he attacked him from behind.
Here we go with details again. My first question was, for a guy who came out of the audience dressed that way, But that was like when Savage used to, you know, they'd say he came out of the audience and he had all his Macho Man gear on.
Right.
And I'm trying to picture in my mind him walking down Main Street America dressed like that, without the cops stopping. And, I mean, Sabu went over the railing after the whole thing, but he didn't come in street clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So he had dressed somewhere. Where did he dress, Don?
In the dressing room?
Thank you. Which means you do get my point then, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And for those listening, I'm sorry. But this is the way I was raised in the business. This is the way I'm going to die in the business, okay? If it doesn't make sense, then I'm not, you know, then I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And all that didn't make any sense to me.
That's a good quality to have.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, you got to question some things sometimes, you know.
Well, I just, to me, if I'm writing a drama, then I want it to make sense. I
right.
don't know. No, I just, you know, and the whole, I don't know, just the whole shtick, it's kind of obvious that Edge is going to end up taking the WWE title, but Van Damme will still have the ECW title, which was handed to him, and he didn't really win it.
Right. Just like Trips.
Yeah. But then when you're in the when your family owns the company, you can work around that, right? But that's my whole thing. Yeah, I think the ECW crew has got to look stronger. And I haven't even seen a show yet, but I'm just going off the strength of what I'm, you know, hearing from everybody else.
Right. Before we get to our first guest, there is a question in the chat room for you, Les.
Uh-oh.
Rhode Island Red wants to know, what was the most disappointing thing you've ever seen or experienced in wrestling?
A bad payoff. I don't know, Red. You know what? If you immerse yourself in this business, it's there's so many peaks and valleys. Like, you know, you're elated one moment and I don't know, but I get over all of it.
Right.
Whatever it is, maybe the death of the territories being killed off.
Yeah.
Maybe that's and especially looking, you know, in retrospect, as a trainer, when I realized that how valuable they were in as a learning tool to all the young talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think, and I've said this before, I think Vince himself would sit down, and if he were in this conversation, he'd say, Les, I agree with you. I did a bad thing, you know,
awesome.
Because now we have talent that's not totally trained. We have talent that's, you know, we've gone through the whole thing before. But, yeah, probably the death of the territories as a whole, not any one particular territory, but the death of the territories as a whole, I think, is probably the most crushing blow that I've experienced in my time in the business.
Right. Stick around, guys. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up. We're also, of course, going to play the pay-per-view prediction game because Vengeance is coming on Sunday. We're going to run down the TNA pay-per-view from Sunday, of course. We've got a special surprise for everybody tonight. And Dr. Tom Pritchard's going to be on right after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs, Mondays, featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Edelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That's stupid fake noise, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Style by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thanks.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Well, we're a little bit late calling him, but he didn't seem to mind. Dr. Tom Pritchard is in the house. Dr. Tom, thank you for being on Wrestling Weekly. It's finally good to talk to another doc.
Guys, listen, you can call me anytime. I know the punctuality isn't necessarily a requirement in this business, but as long as you get around to it, man, that's fine. I know you guys have more important people to talk to, more important things to do, right, Les?
Why don't you put me in the middle here, Tom?
You are. You're right there with that guy, man, that so-called doc. Anyway, how are you guys doing this evening?
We're good.
We're good.
Great.
You know,
I want to lead with. I was telling Doc when the ECW special was on, the ECW pay-per-view, the first night of ECW, I was in Vegas and didn't see any of this. I've read, all the reviews and everything, but I would like your input on the first ECW show.
Well, let me just say this. I was fortunate or unfortunate enough to watch both shows, and here's my take on it. God bless anybody that has a job, and I'm happy for all those guys that are getting work with ECW, be that the old crew or the new crew. That's great. That's the positive part of it. But what made ECW, in my opinion, was the attitude and the fans, the atmosphere, the ambiance made ECW. It wasn't always the most polished show, and it wasn't meant to be the most polished show, but you had those misfits that fit in that environment. The Hammerstein Ballroom, great. Great atmosphere, man. It was less, if you saw it, you could feel it through the screen. There was a sign that said, if Cena wins, we riot. And they meant it. Cena threw his shirt out to the crowd. They threw it back. He threw it out about four times. It was tremendous. It was that passion that the ECW crowd had, as well as the guys in the ring. You could tell Cena was having a great time, and so was Van Damme, in the final match.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good to me. But here's the issue I have. At one time, they were the rebels of the business, and they were against, they were anti-establishment, anti-WWE, anti-WCW, at WWF back then. But Vince was funding ECW. Vince was padding the payroll. So, in reality, Vince has been a part of ECW long before he acquired the film library or anything like that. But now that he owns the brand and it is going to be his, it's going to be his. He's going to make it, he being Vince, is going to make sure it's his vision, and Vince doesn't just want those cult hardcore fans. He wants everybody. And I guess his way of looking at things is to please or to grab as many casual fans as possible. And I don't think that the original business model for ECW was meant for that. The Tuesday night show, oh man, I gotta tell you, for having an hour, a lot of people didn't like it, and I understand why, when the zombie came out. But I T-boated it, and I watched it one Wednesday. And Doc, I can tell by your reaction, but were you a big ECW fan
back
in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, then I can understand how you would think that would be insulting and demeaning. Well, I saw that as exactly what it was meant to be. So ridiculous that there's no way you can look at that and keep a straight face. And I think that's what it was meant to do. I think it was meant to say, all right, if this is what you want us to do, we're going to do it, and we're going to make it as ridiculous as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind the vampires spot as much either. Again, I'm happy those guys have jobs. But put it all together for a wrestling show that's supposed to be an alternative, and it was anything but an alternative. It was the same old stuff with a twist to it, but I saw nothing different. It was a SmackDown audience. It wasn't an ECW audience. It was so obvious. When they did an on-camera with Taz and Joey Styles, I looked at one guy over their shoulder, and he's rolling his eyes and putting his head down, shaking his head, going like, oh, my God, what is this crap?
Mm.
And, you know, I watched it, and I got the idea that this is going to be Vince's flavor. Of course, he owns it, and he can. But is it going to work? Only time will tell. I'm past predicting failure for this stuff. But I've seen too much stuff that I thought was actually absolutely going to go down the drain succeed. So I don't think, I don't think WWE or Vince wants it to die. I don't think there's people there that want it to fail, but I also think there's people there that wouldn't mind if it died and wouldn't mind if it failed, just so they can say, look, we told you so.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Tom, that the one thing that'll keep it buoyant and keep it afloat is even if it shouldn't be, is the fact that the WWE publicity machine is behind it, which Paul E. never had in the original state, and that is so strong that that may keep it up longer than actually what it should be otherwise.
Most certainly. I think that's the biggest key element that is on their side, and that is going to give ECW a really good chance to survive. But in order to survive, it's going to... I think they want it to prosper. I'm sure it will survive with the WWE publicity, but I think what other people are looking for, like Paul and Dreamer and Sabu, Van Damme, those guys, and even Kurt Angle. You know, Kurt Angle is a flagship, flag bearer for ECW now. They want ECW to thrive, not just survive and stay at a steady level. Which it can, you're right, Les, with WWE publicity behind them, no doubt. But they're going to smaller arenas, I understand. They're going to hit some of the other places that WWE wouldn't normally hit on the tours. So that's good. We'll just see how the fan support goes and see how the office support goes as well.
Yeah. You know, I said to Doc Young earlier, without seeing any of it, with the exception of what little, was tied in with Raw on Monday night, it comes back to the same old thing, comes back to haunt me. Why did the WCW invasion fail? Because the invaders weren't made to look strong enough.
That, too. I agree with that to a point, but also I think it's different in this respect. If you look back, and again, please bear with me if I get a little long-winded and give you my opinion on this, but if you look back, when ECW was hot, and Austin came from ECW, and JR, you know, saw how Steve was coming across on these promos, ECW was hardcore, and WWF at that time adopted a more edgier attitude that ECW was already known for. So Vince, again, was supplementing ECW's bankroll, whatever, however you want to say it. Whereas WCW, I think it was a little more personal as far as, let me show you who the real king is. You know, Ted Turner wanted to get into the wrestling business, and well, Vince just ate him up and took his business into the entertainment world. So I think it's different in that respect, but at the same time, they're repeating the same mistakes as far as, I'll be honest with you, when Paul handed Van Damme the ECW world title next to that nice, shiny, glittery, spinning WWE title, it looked like it was made out of cardboard almost. It didn't have the perception of this is a major deal. And you're right, the WWE is not, or did not, I won't say they won't, but did not so far make ECW look like they could compete on the same level.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's a valid point. With WCW, I think there was other issues as to why the invasion didn't work. No, they didn't make it strong enough, I think, too. A lot of the guys that were on there, people had seen pretty inferior to WWE talent, with the exceptions of maybe Booker T and a couple others. But with ECW, name me five stars who aren't beat up and who can be viable on ECW as well as WWE. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Possibly, yeah. We've done ECW to death tonight, though, so let's
switch gears just a little bit and talk about, tell me what you're doing lately.
Well, you know, man, my life is one big party every day. it's something that I've been working some independents in and around East Tennessee and doing things that I have to do, which has been good and bad all at the same time. I've been wrestling. Gosh, I worked a show in Chattanooga this past weekend, and the independent scene in East Tennessee has to really be experienced to believe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I would go into everything I'm doing, guys, but it's too depressing, and I don't want to have anybody shoot themselves on the internet. Right now, so. And I don't want to kill myself at this time. I've tried to watch Raw, SmackDown, and even ECW, but you get to that point where you almost get burned out, and then you walk in some of these locker rooms around here, and you hear things, and you look at things, and these guys have never left the county, much less the state, and
right.
They know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but I enjoy going sometimes and with guys who want to learn. I'm doing a fantasy camp for this fella in Chattanooga next week, Tracy Smothers and myself. Let me tell you a little bit about this, Les. You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
It's a fantasy camp for fans to come. It's $75 a pop for Outlaw Championship Wrestling in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you heard correct. Outlaw Championship Wrestling. At the Terry Pollard Martial Arts Center. I don't have the address, don't have the phone number, but you can look it up on outlawchampionshipwrestling.net. And by gosh, take a look at all the excitement and fun that goes on there.
It sounds like it's very exciting by the time.
Guys, please, I don't want to get on a roll here. I'm biting my tongue on this one. But anyway,
Doc Young, yeah. let me tell you, if you're really interested, Dr. Tom does an occasional column on Gutman.
World Wrestling Insanity.com.
And he tells a story. I read it, and of course, knowing my friend Tom, it had me, you know, I know his dry sense of humor. But anyway, he telling the story about the guy in his championship belt and the whole thing.
Yes.
It's quite entertaining.
Well, that's what I mean. How in the world, and this is just going on a rant here, but how in the world do you call yourself a world champion when you wrestle in Jacksboro, Tennessee, and then Maynardville, Tennessee? No, you're not the world champion. You may be the ECB champion or whatever, but you're not a world champion.
Right.
And then you get on the internet, and it's just it's so petty and so ridiculous, and then you get these guys who take it way, way beyond anything that I've ever seen. But I'm getting a real good education with it. But yeah, that's the extent of what I've been doing, man. I'm actually I'd love to win the lottery, but I've got to start playing first, I guess.
Are you still training wrestlers?
You know what? I'm not like I was last summer. I'm doing it on the job, actually. Like I said, when I go to some of these places, there are some guys who actually do want to learn. Not very many, but there's a few.
Right.
Who will listen and who ask questions, and I'll do it at shows. But as far as training in the going every night, that got to be more trouble than it was worth, because to get people actually come and pay, because around here, again, there's a guy in every corner who will give you a belt and say, hey, you don't have to be trained to be a wrestler. We'll push you in the ring and make you a champion. And that's just what they do.
Make you a world champion.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really sad, but because that's the state of the business around here.
Remember when there used to be only two world champions?
Yeah, well, he used to be three.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, you know, if people would read the history of and know anything about the business, but that means nothing now. It actually means nothing now.
You
so
know, sadly, and Tommy, don't you think too? Is the sad thing is these people that we're talking about that run these federations honestly believe that someone believes that they have a world champion, and the next question they'll ask is, why don't we draw bigger houses?
But the thing is, they're running in a three-car garage, and when I say a three-car garage, I mean it's literally with used to change the oil and stuff, and you know what? Then the question comes back to me. Well, why would you wrestle there? Well, because the guy would pay me $150 to go there. I mean,
right.
You know, hey, $150, why not? But the thing is, you know, sometimes you have to step back and say, is it really worth going and listening to little Johnny talk about what he did that Saturday night in Jacksboro, and then he's come there to defend the world championship against a thug who couldn't wrestle his way out of a paper bag and looks about as credible as, I don't know. I mean, they've never seen a gym. I don't know if they've ever bathed. You know, they might bathe once a week, whether they need it or not. You know, it's just that kind of atmosphere, man, and nobody gets it. Real quick story, I was in a town and I brushed my teeth before I went to the ring.
Right.
And I came back and I was telling off, and one of the managers says, you know, I noticed she's real professional. You brush your teeth. And I thought, good Lord, you know, that just struck me funny as you guys think that's pretty professional that you brush your teeth. Then you put deodorant on before you go to the ring because things that I'm dealing with, guys.
You know what?
That's my life these days.
You know what, Tom? I was on a similar, not the same kind of rant, but about the lacking of details and the shortcuts earlier about, you know, it's easier to do 17 disqualifications or non-finish than it is actually find somebody who can work well enough to give you a finish and still keep their some heat.
Nobody knows how.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen it. That's the whole thing. You can talk all day long about how to do it, but until you've seen it, I was going through some old 70s Houston programs a couple weeks ago, just looking at the two out of three fall main events and when it changed over to one fall and some of the simple things they did. And how they told the story, but it was how Johnny Valentine told the story, how Wahoo McDaniel told the story, or Dory Funk or Terry Funk back in those days, Jose Lothario. They told a story, and they had to tell a story compelling enough to bring you back each week.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, nobody understands that. They don't understand how to be consistent on a weekly basis. They think that, and I promise you, more times than not, the guys you see have watched wrestling on TV. They've seen Raw and SmackDown, maybe TNA, and they copied the moves. They don't know why they're doing the moves. They've just copied what they've seen on TV. They haven't talked to anybody who's trained. They haven't talked to anybody to get trained. They haven't talked to anybody who's been anywhere who's wrestled anywhere except maybe their backyard. So they don't know. They don't understand. And that's again the state of things as it is, and it drives people like Les and myself nuts because we know that's completely wrong, and it's so ludicrous that if you just learn how to work, it would be so much more fun, and you'd be so much more fulfilled when you go out and have a match.
Yeah, Dr. Tom, are you ready for the fun part?
Oh man, give me some fun, please.
Let's take some chat room questions.
Sure.
ACW Fan for Life says, Dr. Tom, out of these top rising stars, who do you think has a better chance to make a name for themselves? Carlito, Mr. Kennedy, or Bobby Lashley?
Ooh, well, we know Bobby's going to be top name on appearance alone. He has raw talent, and I had the opportunity
to see Bobby when he first came in for a tryout for OVW. He's got a ways to go, no doubt, but he's got a great attitude and he has tremendous potential. He's not there yet, but if he stays on course, I think he's going to be huge. If he stays on course, if he soaks in the right advice,
mm-hmm.
Kennedy, I think too will, because he's a guy who, real quick, will send tapes and would send pictures all the time, and he was just playing Ken Anderson. Then he found himself. He found who he really is, and that's who he really is. When he lets go, that's him. Now he will also be very entertaining and tremendous. And I've always liked Carlito, man. I think Carlito
he's cool.
He is very cool, man. He's very cool.
He's so cool. Rhode Island Red says, Dr. Tom, do you think the pay-per-view should have been stopped when Owen died?
No. There was nothing we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hard decision either way.
Yeah.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And nobody knew Owen was dead. I believe. Well, I can't say that. I don't know. But we didn't know what was going on at the time. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard call to make. But no, I really don't, because then what do you do? Vince is good at facing the music, right or wrong, and I think, of course, everybody said this, with Owen would have wanted it this way. We don't know what Owen would have wanted, but I think that there was nothing we could do at that time except go on.
Right.
Don't you, what you just said, that's what Owen would have wanted, that's what we're hearing about the thing where they keep doing the Eddie thing, and now at TNA, they're using Candido.
Oh, good Lord.
Douglas, Shane is now coming out to telling the Naturals. You know, you hit my best friend and tag team partner was helping you, and he'd be ashamed. And I'm thinking, talk about cheap heat.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, this is what Eddie would have wanted. And you know what? I won't tell you I was Eddie's best friend, but... Well, and you and I both knew it, but I don't know that it ever. Well, it's like, let's say Tom and I are having a conversation, and just out of clear blue, I say, Tom, when I die, I want you to use my name to get heat. I mean, I don't even know why that would even come up in a conversation, or why anyone would have ever discussed that.
Yeah, I think it's just a way of probably people feeling that he would like his name to be alive. I will tell you this. I think in knowing Candido the way I did, I know Chris would definitely want to be right there in the middle of things, I think. But that's all conjecture, man. We can think about that the whole time. But nobody really knows, because, like you said, you know, I don't think Owen ever had that conversation. Eddie never had that conversation. Chris never had that conversation.
No, God knows, because especially with Chris was so full of life. Him passing it prematurely just was never, I don't think, in anybody's thought. Well, Eddie the same, or any of those guys the same way. It's not something, you know, you sit and wonder about.
Well, sure, but you know what? Here's the other, real quick, and I know there might be other chat room questions since we got on this. I do think that the guys who are doing it and saying it, in their mind, might believe that it's their way of keeping... their name, their spirit, their entity alive by saying and using them in that angle. That was their life. You and I both know Candido lived for this business.
God,
and
yes.
Candido would want more than anything to be immortalized in any way, shape, or form. He ate, drank, slept this business 24/7. Eddie was the same way. Of course, he had family. I mean, Chris is a special subject for me anyway, man. But it's something that I think everybody has to decide what's right, and we're all going to have our opinions on it. But I don't think anybody's trying to be malicious, maybe trying to get cheap heat. I don't know. I mean, only
no, I don't honestly think. Of course, and of course, with the WWE, we realize that they're doing what they're told to do. They're doing their job.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Heel 2006 says, what was going through your mind during the WWE Bite This when Austin was ranting about how unhappy he was with creative for his character?
What was going through my mind? Well, I was just listening, saying, "Yeah, man, because there's some people that can get away with that, and you know,
he's definitely one of them."
Yeah, I mean, come on, you listen. There comes a time when you know it sucks, and creative knows it sucks, but somebody's got to say it. You know, it sucks, and it sucked, and Steve thought it sucked, and Steve at this point in his life, and at that point in his life and career, you know, why sugarcoat it? He said what he meant and meant what he said, and why not, man? He's told Vince, and he's so creative, and they don't like it. Screw him.
Another chat room question. What's it like being the brother of Brother Love?
Well, you could ask Brother Love the same question.
Yeah.
That's like being my brother, man. I mean, come on. I was here first.
That's true.
Huh? Yeah.
Where do you think that creative's going with Mickey James, and who's the next women's champ? That comes from DJ Pooh Bear.
Ooh, you know what? Here, let me, if I can expound on this one. Mickey, I'm glad to see, got a break.
Oh, yeah.
I really am. She's got a lot of energy. And she has a lot of passion. I don't know of anybody else, who wouldn't be, and I don't mean this derogatory or anything, but who wouldn't be a retread in the women's division. Nikki is, she was the freshest one they had. Trish is still hurt, I believe. And I don't know, I think, didn't Beth just get hurt too?
Yeah, she hurt her mandible.
Good Lord. I mean, how much of a bad break can she catch? Because I think she would have been great.
Yeah, she was coming, you know, on fire in the first couple of weeks, and then hit a brick wall.
Well, that was, I mean, so beyond that, the girl on ECW who couldn't unsnap a bra, you think she'd be next in line?
God, I hope not.
me too. But I think Mickey, as far as creative goes with her, I think she's pretty versatile, and I know she's very talented from what I've seen in her early career, and now that she's got her spot in WWE, I think she's gonna have some say-so in where her career and character goes as she gets more confidence and as she gets more over.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Do you think The Undertaker or Ric Flair will get one last shot with the heavyweight title before they retire?
Flair, I don't think so. Undertaker, possible, but I doubt it. I just don't think that they would do that for... I think Vince looks at it completely different than anybody else. Never say never, but I doubt it.
Right.
On both sides, yeah.
I'm trying to find a good question now because...
Oh, any questions? Come on.
Ask Dr. Tom what it was like seeing the family business of WWF turn into WCW corporate.
Ooh, you know what? I've actually said that before. I don't know if I wrote it down or I just said it to someone. But it does remind me of WCW corporate in a lot of bad ways, and I guess that's just the evolution of the way it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I will always have a respect and admiration for Vince McMahon as well as Shane and the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the business goes, and I understand times change and things change, man, you know, there was a lot of things that I saw when I was in talent relations, a lot of things that I listened to and heard, and that I spoke up and didn't understand. Well, I guess I did understand, or I didn't care. I don't know whichever it was. that when you're in a corporation and you're publicly owned and it's not run as a family business anymore, things are a little different. You have to have, like WCW, you had people take hits, and you had people who took the blame for stuff, and you also have a lot of the same people who helped WCW die who are in WWE right now.
Right.
And I'm not going to point any fingers and say that John Laurinaitis is a horrible manager, but I think that there are things that John Laurinaitis did and didn't do that sure as hell didn't help that company.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, he isn't helping that company. He may think it is, but at the end of the day, we'll see.
Shockage says, please share your memories on announcing with Gorilla Monsoon for international TV tapings in 98.
Yeah, you know, that was, honestly, that was a pretty cool thing because Monsoon was who he was. And also, I had the opportunity when I would come up to Connecticut to see Bruce on occasion, also talked to Gorilla back then. We went to Vegas, Bruce and I went to Vegas, when Bruce proposed to his wife, I was out there with him, and we had dinner with Monsoon and his family, and he was just a really great guy. He was a legend in the business, number one. Here we are having dinner, here we are talking, and now to be able to do International Superstars with him. You know, he would always give me hell because that was his role. I was a heel, and he would always be the guy that would say things and see how you reacted to it. I loved it, man. It was so cool to not only socialize with him at times, but to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pro, and again, being a legend, it was kind of like when I got to meet Killer Kowalski. Same thing. You know, here's two legendary classic names that when you talk about professional wrestling, if you ever wanted any good professional wrestling names, you got a Gorilla and you got a Killer. So it was great.
Right. There was a question. Oh, ask Dr. Tom about the Montreal screw job. Did Brett screw Brett?
Well, sure he did. I mean, yeah, man. It was, look. That's something that when business is business, and I understand the personal animosity between Brett and Sean. I was there during most of it. I can understand the feelings. But at the same time, you have to look at it like this. And I like Brett. I think Brett's a great, great guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a Canadian hero, does it really matter? I mean, in the end, does it really matter? It's a belt that it was Vince's belt. It was Vince's company. He asked Brett to do a job. He asked Brett to please drop the belt to Sean. Brett didn't want to drop the belt to Sean.
Right.
At least he didn't want to do it in Canada. So let's see. It's not Brett's company. It's not really Brett's belt. Yeah, I think Brett screwed Brett. But in the end. Didn't Brett get inducted in the Hall of Fame? And didn't Brett get his DVD and all that stuff? So who really did win? I mean, you know,
and became a millionaire through WCW, regardless.
Yeah,
regardless. I mean, so yeah, Brett screwed Brett, but he came out okay in the end.
Yeah, life isn't all that bad at the Hart residence. I don't
think. Right.
At least
he has had his trials and tribulations. He had a stroke. And
right.
And he's had some hard times. But, I mean, when it comes down to doing something like that, when the boss, the guy who pays you and has made you all that money, asks you to do something, come on. It's sports entertainment, professional wrestling, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it is what it is. It's
right.
A business.
You know what, though? Tom will agree with me here too. Tom's career spanned part of the territories era as well as the corporate era, and I think he will also tell you before there were contracts where people like Hogan and Brett or whoever had creative control written in, it was, you know what, it was pretty simple, cut and dried. You, if the three of us are sitting down talking about finishes, we can all throw something out there, but we're just going to evolve to the guy who you figure has got the, well, obviously the booker's going to make the final call or the promoter, but the guy with the most experience in that particular situation is going to get have the most pull. But the point is, if Tom and I are working to finish, that booker's going to get my input as well as Tom's, because nobody knows how to probably program us better than ourselves.
Right.
Which
right. But on that subject real quick, do either of you guys remember the story of Stan Hansen not wanting to drop the AWA belt?
Sure.
And then running over it and then sending it back to Vern?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, okay, so you have that option of walking out and not doing it or whatever, but still, at the same time, you know, Stan is living in Japan. You know, he came over and he works in shops back in WCW, but, you know, guys like that, I think that's one reason, too, Bruiser Brody was such an independent guy, is, you know, he called his own shots and he did whatever he wanted to do, but there weren't many Brodies or Hansons, and in the end, the promoter's gonna win, unless you've got enough stroke call your own shots and you own your territory or whatever. But, you know, same thing with Brett. Yeah, Brett screwed Brett, short answer.
Yeah. Dr. Tom, I want to thank you for being on the show, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Wait just a minute, Doc.
Yes.
You guys have the gall to call me late. And then you're going to cut me off right now when I'm talking about Bruiser Brody and Stan Hansen. You didn't even question that. You didn't question about Brody or Hansen. You didn't want to know.
I'm sorry, but we're running out of time. We've got
nothing.
Three more segments to get to.
Three more segments? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Very good. Well, guys, thank you very much.
He's going to have to pick up on our sense of humor at some point in his life.
Oh, good Lord. I hope so. Anyway, man. All right. Well, guys, have a good night, and thank you very much.
Dr. Tom.
Dr. T, God bless you. I'll talk to you real soon.
All right, man. See you guys later.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Tom Pritchard here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Hot Topic. Bruce Mitchell from the PW Torch is going to be on the program. And we've got a little bit of a surprise coming up for you guys later on. So stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll be right back after this.
Here's the latest news and information on Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip. It's just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name's Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Style by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
I like this music. We know Les, you can't hear it.
Yeah, well, I know.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. It's vengeance time. It's about that time of the year. WWE's pay-per-view Vengeance going to be...
Oh, I thought you meant I got to hit you over the head with the baseball bat.
No, that happens in late August, I think.
All right.
But we got Vengeance coming up. It's time for myself and Les to play the old pay-per-view prediction game. If you're wondering what happened to Bruce Mitchell on Hot Topic, we don't know either. So,
well, except that we were running over. Dr. Tom chastised Doc Young.
He yelled at me during the break, people.
See, well, you know, again, he's from that old school. We were taught about punctuality and all that sort of stuff. But
yes.
Then I realize when I'm with you, you are such an artist that we can't lock you into any particular time frame.
Absolutely not. I need my freedom.
I know. Freedom to express yourself and create.
Exactly.
Yes, I know.
Here's how the pay-per-view prediction game works. Of course, we're going to run down the card for you. Myself and Les are going to make a prediction, see who's going to win. And then next week we're going to come back and go over the pay-per-view and see who actually got the most predictions right. It's a simple game, but fun. And it actually puts us on an even keel. Because
not really a simple game for those of us who have spent our life in the business, because what we would consider probably good, solid, structured common sense in terms of who wins and loses is not even part of the game anymore.
Which is exactly why it puts us on an even keel.
Go ahead.
All right. First of all, we've got Eugene versus Umaga.
Well, I don't think that's a hard pick. Umaga is going to end up getting his hand raised.
Absolutely.
What is being created, I think, with him, I think the gimmick's old hat. What's being created with Eddie is that when he finally gets with a wrestler with a good rep, you know, that's been pushed in a good rep, there'll be the curiosity of what he does, because everything that's happened thus far has just been simple squashes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
even against guys like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who else did he squash that pay-per-view?
Oh, my God. The list of squashes go on. I don't know.
Yeah, it just goes on and on.
And then again, in this day and age, we're talking about what makes sense or doesn't. There's a chance he may never be against any major players. I don't know. This may be But you know what? If you can't get hurt too much when you go 2-3 minutes and beat the hell out of your opponent.
Exactly.
It gives you some longevity in terms of you won't be in a wheelchair by the time you hit 50 anyway, that's for sure.
Right. So we're one thing we do know for sure is that Umaga is going to win.
Well, we don't know it for sure, but I think it's pretty safe bet.
If Eugene wins, I think we should just cancel the show. And
you better not say that.
I said I think.
Well, I would need something to find something else to do next Tuesday night. Go
That's
ahead.
True,
what's
man.
Next?
Kane versus Imposter Kane.
Well, I think Kane. Well, I don't. Yeah, here again, I think a lot of this depends on how long they plan to run this thing. You know. It's a recycling of the Undertaker plus, the fake Undertaker or whatever.
Which only lasted one match.
Yeah.
Main match.
And this one's being so hurried. I don't know. Under normal circumstances, if it's just a one-shot deal, then I think the real Kane I think Glenn goes over.
Right.
You know, so with that in mind and not realizing, not seeing where this might go otherwise, I don't see the resurrection of Paul Bearer or anything like that to create, you know, confusion thing. So I'm going to take Glenn Jacobs. I'm going to take the original Kane.
Okay. I think that they're going to try to stick this one out and use this one a little bit more. So I'm going to go with Imposter Kane.
Okay.
Two out of three falls match, Mick Foley versus Ric Flair, in a match that Mick Foley swears is going to be a horrible match.
Well, you know what?
And atrocious.
A lot of people think he's being humorous. I'm thinking he may be for real. I don't know. Two out of three falls. How much gas Mick's got in the tank?
Right.
Flair, of course. Flair still. Regardless of how much gas he got, he's still almost 57 years old.
Exactly.
But I see Flair going over. It's Charlotte for guy. Well, I shouldn't say that either because that makes sense again. But yeah, it's in Flair's backyard basically. So I've got to pick Flair as the winner of this.
WWE usually has a history of, you know, humiliating people in their own hometowns. Mick Foley has pulled off an angle like this before, where he was anti-hardcore. He put his teeth back into his mouth, his false teeth, and he wore suits, and he wanted to have horrible matches. This was back in ECW when he was against, I believe, Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk, and he would just put a headlock on somebody and just hold it there, and everybody's screaming, you know, do something hardcore, you know, and he's just trying to headlock.
Well, you know,
he'll get out of headlock
and
taunt him, and he'll get really mad and rear back and put another headlock on him, you know?
Well, I can't picture him doing that, not at 39.95, but maybe, you know, you could be possibly right. I just, like I say, I don't see this one having a lot of legs either, but I see it being hurried, and I think that's a shame. I think if they could have had these two guys sit down and kind of just at least draw a peace treaty up during their mudslinging with the books, it would have meant so much more at that point in time.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go and make this interesting, and I'm going to go with Foley on this one.
Okay.
I think I just think they'd like to humiliate people in their hometowns. They've been doing that a lot lately. Plus, Flair hasn't been seen much. He's just coming back for this.
He just got married.
Right.
He's on his honeymoon.
Just got off his honeymoon, and so is he back for good, or is he getting his
squashed? The new bride's been riding Space Mountain.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm going to go with Mick Foley on this
one.
Next is Kurt Angle versus Randy Orton. This will be a tough one.
Well, yeah, you know, it's vengeance, so you kind of think, well, Orton's going to stay with Raw, he's going to stay with the WWE brand, so you got to figure that he's got to slip over in some manner, whether it be fair or foul. I just kind of get the feeling that, unless again, they're going to move Orton back over to the ECW thing,
right?
You know, back and forth. I think at some point that's going to dictate failure or profitable with ECW too, is when they obviously don't think it can stand on its own legs right now, and that may not be a bad observation, but at some point it's got to. They can't keep the interpromotional thing going forever.
Right.
But I'd say since it's a WWE Raw show, I say Orton's got to slip over in some manner.
Okay. We haven't seen this this angle to its conclusion before the pay-per-view yet. There's going to be more. Orton's going to be at ECW tonight. John Cena's going to be there. And those two matches are going to continue. So, this being Tuesday, it's really hard to put a guess on right now. But I like the way that this is going right now as far as me opposing less on all these. So I'm going to go with Angle.
Okay. Just go against the grain. Doc, see the hell if I can.
I want to see who comes out in this. The Intercontinental Championship. It's a triple threat match between Johnny Nitro, Shelton Benjamin, and Carlito.
I kind of see Benjamin hanging on, or at least that would be the way I'd go. You know, maybe Nitro. I don't know. Carlito is Carlito.
Yes.
I just don't. He's. I mean, don't get me wrong. He gets out there and he works hard, and I think he's a good little athlete. But I just don't see that spark that means, of course, none of these guys have, well, of the three, Bobby Nitro's got has been given the best shove in recent weeks, and, of
yes.
course, that was on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, I don't know, I kind of feel maybe that Benjamin will hang on.
You think Benjamin will take it?
Yeah.
Boy, this is a really tough one for me. All three of them looked great last night on Raw. Johnny Nitro, as you said, Les, getting a big push. Carlito also getting one. They had it come out last night where Benjamin was down, and Nitro not only got the best of Carlito and Benjamin, but Carlito got the best of Benjamin. He was kind of the only guy that didn't get any heat, at least good ones. So I'm going to agree with you on that one there.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that there's kind of a reason to lean towards Sheldon, too.
Yeah,
the other guys are made to look stronger, which may be an indication of what they've got in mind.
Right, and that's the reason I'm going to agree with you on this one. I'm going to go with Shelton Benjamin to retain.
Oh, okay.
The next match, John Cena versus Sabu of ECW.
Wow. It can't go too long. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe it can go a little bit longer than I expect. If they're planning on Cena going is on the next ECW pay-per-view with, I don't know. I think the best, from what I hear, you know, is Vince is so high on John right now that they're going to protect him at all costs.
Right.
And
even if he does somehow lose this match, he's going to look good doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think you know. Sabu Pearl Harbored him on Monday night.
Right.
You know, left him for dead, as it were. So I see Angle getting Angle. I see Cena getting some of that steam back at Vengeance. So I think he's got to slip over. Sabu is veteran enough, I think, to deal with it and still keep his own steam. So
yes.
I've got to go with Cena.
I'm going to agree with you because of those same reasons. But again, this angle not completed. We'll see what happens tonight on ECW. When John Cena shows up.
Right.
But I'm going to go with Cena on this one. I think Cena's going to get his hand raised, and the ECW Raw matches will be split for the pay-per-view. And now the big one, D-Generation X versus the Spirit Squad, which seems more to me like it's a main event of Raw than a major pay-per-view, but...
Well, I'm not strong because I'm not strong on five different guys holding the tag team belts. That's just, again, excuse me, that is sports entertainment. That is showbiz, and quite frankly, it's just, it's not my cup of tea. Well, here's the deal. D-Generation X had just gotten back together, so it's hard to think that they're going down, but then on the other hand, Michaels is still has to have his knee scoped.
Yes.
Right. So this may be the chance. So they maybe the evil Vince McMahon will get to Michaels through the Spirit Squad in some manner, and they will end up. This will give Michaels a reason to go have the knee scoped and build toward us. Although after the reception they got on Monday night, they may have shifted gears on that. I don't know.
It's possible, too. I see maybe them changing their plans. Yeah, if their plans were for Spirit Squad to injure Shawn Michaels, get them out of the match, and for Spirit Squad to go over, when they built the whole show around them, basically, on Raw last night, and the ovation that they got was the biggest pop of the night, of course.
Right.
They might want to say, Sean, can you hang out a little bit longer before you get that surgery? it's time to get some money out of this. But I'm going to go with DX on this one.
Okay.
It's a toss-up, but, we're not in the mines or backstage at WWE. And
no, we're not.
And sometimes it's just a 50-50 chance.
Maybe that would be a frightening place to be, too, Doc.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a 50-50 toss-up, and I think this is one of those cases.
Right.
D-Generation X versus Spirit Squad. Les is going to go with Spirit Squad. I'm going to go with DX on this one. So that wraps it up. That's the card
for WWE's Vengeance on June 25th, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. It sounds like a very good pay-per-view, Les. Are you going to buy it? Are you going to get it? Are you going to buy it? Are you going to get it? Are you going to buy it? Are you going to get it?
I'm not telling you. How's that?
Oh, God. Had to do that. Anyway, you're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. We got a surprise coming up for you.
You better tell them. They may decide that you're picking on the old man and not hang around for the surprise.
Well, they'll hang around. They've been hanging around this long. You guys can hang around during the break. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name's Adam Nedelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nedelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Jeez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. And I got to tell you guys, sometimes you never know what's going to happen on the show, and sometimes you just got to be here. Samoa Joe, are you there?
Yes, yes I am.
I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, and I it's just wonderful to have you here once again. You're one of our favorite guests.
Well, it's good to be here.
He's one of my favorite wrestlers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when I grow up, I want to be a wrestler just like you.
Yeah.
I do. I'll tell you what. I'm going to throw this in. I know we're going to go to the chat room real quick. I think what's happening now, like you and Steiner with the face-offs and thing, I think that's where they're going to get the most mileage out of you. And I just honestly see, it appears to me anyway, that they've really gotten smart and that you're going to be the future of this company. I don't know if you're feeling that pressure right now, but I know it's a little higher level than you've worked in the past. How do you feel about it?
You know, as of right now, you know, I'm definitely not, counting my chickens before they're hatched, but, I mean, I think things are going real well. I think as far as what we're doing on pay-per-view and television, you know, being received real well. So, I mean, I just hope the trend continues and it does build to bigger and better things.
And your DVD's out now, right?
Yes, it is.
I haven't asked you yet. What on there do you like the best?
You know, it's a toss-up. I mean, there's so much good stuff. I mean, you know, everybody, they love the three-way with me, Daniels, and AJ. But I'm a big fan of the match with Chris Sabin. I'm a big fan of the, I think on that one is the X Division, six-man that we had not too long ago.
Right.
They kind of orchestrated me and Daniels having problems. But, you know, it's just, like I said, there's a lot of material on there that I really enjoyed, and I'm pretty proud of. So, I mean, you know, we'll just see what the fans think.
Good. You're nursing an injury. I know you made the last Ring of Honor show, but didn't actually, or did you work? One of them didn't work.
I made all the Ring of Honor shows. I mean, some I didn't work on, but for the most part, you know, I tried to stay still active within Ring of Honor and do good by them. I mean, they're a really hard-working company, and if you're going to stay in that locker room, no matter, you know, what you do outside of the company, you still got to work hard to get a spot there. So,
but you're nursing an injury. How's that come?
It's come pretty good. I mean, the PCL tear it sucks and it hurts, but you know, I've been doing a lot of physical therapy with a guy named Tommy Chow, who's awesome, and he's been kind of getting me back on the right track, and it's getting stronger. I mean, it's still not 100%. I mean, just in strength, but a lot of the pain's kind of subsided, and we're getting back into it, I guess.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I want to get straight into some chat room questions, Joe, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Eddie the F says, what does Joe love most about the zombie?
What is there not to love? I mean, seriously, I'm a huge fan. I don't know. I'm begging. I'm begging Ring of Honor. There's no way it could probably happen. I'm begging Ring of Honor to bring him in.
Yeah.
I think huge numbers with that.
So, Rhode Island Red has a question, and a lot of people have speculated about this. It's about Umaga, and a lot of people say that if you would have took the job with WWE last year, that Umaga was going to be your character, but they put it on the shelf because you had went with TNA. Is this true?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I didn't know anything about Umaga before I actually had seen him. And I guess it's easy to say that, but at the same time, you know, I don't know. I don't think I really fit that kind of look. So I mean, I don't think I would have been the first pick to do that. You know, regardless of me being sworn or not. So,
right.
I mean, tell me the truth now. Would that have excited you?
I'd have a tough time adjusting, definitely.
Yeah.
You know what? I would too, because I've said here on this show, it's the gimmick got over in the 70s. I just don't see it being a viable, persona or character today, really.
Yeah, I mean it's always a crapshoot. You know, you never know what's going to catch these days. So. I mean, hey, to each their own.
Right.
Exactly.
Heel 2006 has a question, and we ask this question to a lot of TNA stars, and their answer is usually Samoa Joe. But who would your dream match be with against past or present stars? Who would you like to work with?
You know, I'd love to work with Regal again. I mean, in kind of a, you know, a more wrestling setting. Like, I'd love to work with Regal in the Ring of Honor setting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd love to, I give credit where credit's due. I think Kurt Angle's been doing a phenomenal job lately, and I've been watching his work off and on. I mean, when I can, when I'm home, and I've really enjoyed it. So I mean, I have no problem giving a guy his due when he's doing really great work and really working his ass off. So I mean, I'm I've been enjoying what he's been doing lately. And, I mean, you know, aside from that, there's so many guys out there. I mean, at this point, I'm kind of in a zone where really I kind of look forward to really anybody I kind of get in the ring with, because I want to see what we can pull out and what we can make. And, you know, I'm looking to surprise people, you know, so it's not something I really, really, kind of hold near and dear to my heart.
You know, for me, obviously, spending my life in this business, I shouldn't make up these matches in my mind. And my only problem with you being where you're at is I can't see you work with Angle or Benoit or Michaels, and I just think those would be some tremendous matches too.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you'd love to do, but at the same time, I mean, I've had so many like really surreal matchups in my career that I never thought I would be involved in ever when I first started out.
Right.
That, you know, it's hard for me to really be disappointed. You know.
You know, whether you like it or you don't, or whether you admit it, you're a phenom in this. I mean, you're, for the time that you spent in the business, and I say this to other, I'm saying it to you now, but I say it to everybody when your name comes up. You are more mature mentally in our business about what should be done, how to do it, and how to get you there, than some guys with you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years more experience. And I think that's not something, believe me, as a teacher, that's not something you teach. That's something that's either there or it's not. And I just see a tremendous future for you.
Well, I appreciate it, Mac. I hope so.
Shane O'Mac, Vinnie Mac says, who's the toughest challenge you've ever faced?
There's been a lot. I mean, honestly, you know, when it comes to toughest challenges, I mean, you look at Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles. I mean, guys who I've wrestled an absolute multitude of times who, you know, at this point, I mean, it's just, I'm almost sick of seeing them across from me in the ring. But, you know, every time we go out there, it's tough. Homicide. I mean, I think somebody who early on, especially in my Ring of Honor run, really was a guy that he presses on you, man, and he's an athlete. You know, he really, really is. I mean, when he gets going, I mean, he's probably one of the quickest guys in wrestling today. I mean, he really is. I mean, he just, when he gets fired up, he changes direction fast. I mean, he's on you, he's off you, and he's got a big gas tank, and he can go all night long. So, like, I mean, a guy like Homicide, and you know, then of course, you know, you got your Kobashis, and you have your Scotty Steiners and stuff like that. But I mean, for consistently, like, giving me a run for my money, I mean, those are the guys who are really the toughest in the fact that they really push you to kind of succeed. And, I mean, those guys are the toughest guys to get in there. You got to be on your game.
DJ Pooh Bear says, I heard you were a big gamer. How's the TNA game going, and what do you think of WWE's game?
That's last update I had, Midway's, they had to do a couple office changes. Like, they moved from San Diego to Chicago, and then some of the team moved back, or they're kind of going through a big moving phase. But I know they're starting some pre-production. They're really mainly working on the artwork and working on, you know, kind of capturing the look of all the wrestlers in TNA, and then, you know, getting some motion models down. And then, you know, as soon as they're ready to hash out some gameplay things, which we've already kind of discussed and gone over, including some really, I think, innovative ways of presenting a wrestling game. You know, and we gave them a lot of source material, too. Like, you know, right away, AJ's like, you know, virtual pro wrestling. And, you know, at the same time, I was like, you know, there's another game on Dreamcast called Giant Grand, which, if you learn how to play that, you know, I thought the game mechanics and some of these things that were presented were fantastic and should be emulated. And, you know, they took all our suggestions down, and they were really, really surprised that, you know, we gave them like three or four full sheets of suggestions and things that they should kind of, you know, they should think about implementing the game, and examples of good wrestling games that we enjoyed out there. And, you know, they're going to go to work on it.
When the TNA game comes out, are you going to play anybody except Smojo?
Oh, absolutely. Scott D'Amore? All day long.
What kind of games do you like? Do you prefer, like, PlayStation, or are you an Xbox kind of guy?
Well, I've been a long time PlayStation a diehard.
Excellent.
You know what? My 360 right now is definitely the gem and the crown jewel of my video game embassy over here. I mean, it's all the TNA guys are all on it, and for the most part, I mean, myself, Christian, AJ, a few other friends of ours, a few other friends of from the other companies, and you know, we get on there and meet up, and we have a good time, man. It's pretty
excellent.
Fun, so.
Are you guys allowed to play video games backstage?
Well, we get away with it. I know. I mean, we have PSP and Game Boy DS tournaments all the time in the locker room.
Yeah, I heard Fun was banned from backstage at WWE. So I was just wondering how it was in the TNA locker room if they had.
Yeah, it'd be pretty hard to kind of ban some of the stuff, all the fun that we had back then.
Question for Samoa Joe: does Joe get upset with people calling him Sloppy Joe?
Not really. I mean, it's there to elicit reaction, and trust me, if I had any really hang-ups about that type of stuff, I'd probably be out there in a t-shirt and jeans and just like that, but, I really don't care. I mean, it's just, that's good, some people, they just, it's that reaction I'm looking for, and, I don't think it should be, 100% positive, there's going to be people out there that hate me, and, they got to have their reasons, and if it draws attention to the matches that I'm in, and gets them involved in it, then, it's all about that much better.
Yeah. How long have you been pro?
I think I'm just passing up 6 years here.
6 years. Okay. Raven Mark says, Joe, if you had to tag team with a current TNA wrestler, who would you prefer?
Oh, man, that's an odd question. Not odd the fact that I never really thought of it. I'd love to tag with, I really have no idea. I mean, you guys stopped me. Congratulations.
It's okay. Dingo says, what's the funniest moment you've had in the ring?
Oh, there's been tons. I mean, I could go on for days. Some of the funniest. I mean, there's just been things, half of them I probably couldn't even tell over the air. I mean, I think Wes kind of knows what I've been going for. I mean, there's always Riz Glory and all kinds of stuff. One of the funniest moments I know is Sabu, who I love to death, but we were doing some hardcore four-way big beatdown brawl match in Canada, and every shot he hit me with, he's sorry, and then finally I looked at him and said, you're not sorry, because I know I can't stop. And it just was
that's good. That's good. Shane O'Mac, last question. Shane O'Mac, Vinnie Mac says, what are your thoughts on Jim Cornette as the new face of TNA?
I like it. I mean, I've been working with Cornette in Ring of Honor for over the past year, and he's been gold there. I mean, absolute gold. I mean, he just has a delivery and a vocal styling that just commands an audience's attention. I mean, he can really make things happen out there. So, I mean, the TNA tapings that he's involved in, the pay-per-view, I mean, he's been dynamite, in my opinion, and I think it's good. I think Jimmy's an untapped resource out there, and I'm glad TNA brought him in.
Well, Joe, I really want to thank you for stopping by. Know it's had to be a quick little interview and a quick little visit, but like I said, you're one of our favorite guests here at Wrestling Weekly, and we wish you only good things for the future. And you've got a big title defense coming up on Thursday at TNA's Impact. That's at 11 o'clock Eastern, so check it out, guys, over at Spike TV. We wish you luck on that, Joe.
Joe, take care of that injury, and good luck, and God bless you, my friend.
I'll do my best. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye, Joe.
All right, too.
Samoa Joe dropping by here on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, that's going to wrap things up. We got to get out of here. ECW is coming on next for all you East Coast guys. For the West Coast guys, stick around. We've got the Irish Whip coming up. I want to thank ObsessedWithWrestling.com for all their help that they've given us and for being just basically one of the best database sites of wrestling out there. It's got everything over at ObsessedWithWrestling.com that you want to know about. Also, of course, check out LesThatcher.com and EPWT.com. That's the Elite Pro Wrestling Training Seminars. Les, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we do, and I'm going to get my first look at ECW, Doc. And what we got for next week?
Yes, we have a wildcat, Chris Harris from AMW, going to be on the show next week, and he's going to be talking about just what's going on with him and his partner.
All right, cool.
So enjoy, guys. We will enjoy ECW. We'll see you at next Tuesday and find out all the good stuff from Vengeance. Good night, guys.